All right, I'd like you to take your Bible tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read three verses, and then I'm going to bring a little Bible study on the subject, When It Doesn't Feel Like Christmas. And I'm going to read these three verses. If there was anything sad that's connected with the Christmas story, it's the events that are described in these three verses in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, where the Bible says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." You know, when we think about Christmas and you know, people talk about getting into the Christmas spirit, all our thoughts are usually on positive things. I mean, we think about, you know, peace on earth. We think about goodwill to men. We think about joy to the world. We think about families being together. We think about, you know, presents, like Yale thought about her cat. We think about the great feast that we, you know, have, all the food. And it's sort of like, you know, a picture on a Hallmark card with a little a saying written above it or below it, all is well. All is well. And when we, you know, when we usually think about the, you know, about Christmas, we usually think about everything being right, everything being peaceful, everything being good. And that's, I think that's what we've come to expect at Christmas time. I think that's what puts us in the Christmas spirit. But I would remind you that this is a sad time of year for many, many people. In fact, if you look at the statistics, there are more suicides committed this time of year than any other time of year. More people lose hope this time of year than any other time of year. And I'm sure you are like me. As you grow up and as you grow older, things happen that take pieces away, take parts away from our Hallmark card kind of Christmas. For example, let me give you some examples. Loved ones pass away. We lose grandpas or grandmas, dads or moms, spouses or children. And when that happens, Christmas is never the same as it used to be. I was thinking the last couple of weeks about my grandpa Manning. He was the first grandparent that I lost. And he was in a car accident last week in December, several years ago. I was in the ninth grade. And he was in a car accident and was killed early in the month of December. Now, and I, you know, I don't talk about him much, but he and I were buddies. This was my dad's dad, my grandpa Manning. And I was over his house every other Sunday and usually every other weekend. I mean, when both my grandparents were alive, my mom and dad would alternate. We'd go over my mom's parents 1 week Sunday dinner and my dad's parents the other week. And when we went to my dad's parents, all his brothers and sisters were there and all my cousins were there. And so from the time I can remember, very little, until the time that my grandma died, we would do that every other week. And my grandpa had two daughters and two daughter-in-laws, and there were six girl cousins. And we had this little, my grandpa and I had this little scheme worked out. Back when I was growing up, they had a baseball game on Sunday afternoon. It was called the Game of the Week. And some of you might remember, it came on Sunday afternoon, and Dizzy Dean and Pee-wee Reese were the announcers. Anybody care to date themselves? You ever, why? Okay, there's a couple of you that remember that. So, Russ, you remember that? I didn't think you were that old. But anyhow, I can remember every Sunday when we were over at my Grandpa Manning's, here's the scheme we worked out. He always felt some obligation to help with the dishes. So we would get done eating early, and he and I would go up and start the dishes, okay? Nobody else was done yet, so we would go up and start the dishes. And then his daughters and daughter-in-laws and my girl cousins, as they got older, felt sorry for Grandpa. So they said, oh, Grandpa, you don't need to do the dishes. You just go ahead and watch the ball game. We'll take care of them. Of course, that let me off the hook as well because I was right there with him. And so we go into the living room, and he'd sit down on his chair, and I would, lay down on the floor in front of his feet, and we would watch, the ball game with Dizzy Dean and Pee Wee Reese. Here's what usually happened. He would usually go to sleep. Everybody eventually would leave. It'd just be Grandpa and Grandma and myself. She'd be laying on the couch. He'd be in his chair. And he didn't have a recliner. He just sort of put his head back like this and opened his mouth and snored. And I'd be laying on the floor watching the ball game. And it would be, it would be the deal where, something exciting would happen. The crowd would cheer, and he'd wake up and he said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "Yeah, I saw it, but you didn't." we'd watch the ball game. And when the ball game was over, same ritual every Sunday afternoon. The ball game, we'd go over, and he said, "Well, you want a piece of chicken?" And we had fried chicken. Every Sunday we went over there, we had fried chicken. And so I said, "Well, yeah." So we go get the leftover chicken and a loaf of bread, and that's what we'd have for our Sunday afternoon snack, piece of cold chicken and a piece of white bread, and then we'd eat the leftover banana pudding. And so that went on from the time I was probably 5 years old until I was 13. And I can remember just like it was yesterday, my brother and I, we slept in the attic. My dad had made a bedroom in the attic, and we were sleeping up there. And my dad came up early one morning and woke us up, said, "Grandpa was in a car accident last night and didn't make it." And it was, again, early in the month of December. And so when Christmas time came that year, there was an empty seat at the table, empty spot in my heart, and Christmas wasn't the same. I had lost a piece or a part of my Hallmark-type Christmas. And so when loved ones pass away, we lose pieces of all is well. Another example, when we have financial reverses in our life, when, our company downsizes or we get laid off or we lose our job, when Christmas comes, we perhaps can't do all the things that we used to do. We can't buy as many presents as we used to buy. Perhaps we don't have as large a feast as we had in past years. I was thinking about what Linda and Darwin mentioned on Sunday when they took the food basket over to the family that they took. And Darwin said, I think he said, when you open the refrigerator to put the food in, all they had was a carton of milk in the refrigerator. And there are many, many families that are hurting that way. And Christmas won't be the same for them as it's been in the past. We got a thank you card from one of the people that we took a basket to, and I don't hang them up just to keep the identity of the people. Only the people that take the basket know who we're taking the basket to. But we got a thank you note from one of the families that we took a basket to last week, and they wrote a very similar story. He said, we were just planning to have, and this was the words that they used. They said, "We were planning just to have chicken noodle soup for Christmas dinner. And the basket you brought us will allow us to have a nice dinner for Christmas." And so there are people that are hurting that through no fault of their own, a piece of their Hallmark-type Christmas has been taken away. Even in churches, it seems like at Christmas time, things happen. My mom's been talking to me about what's been going on in their church, and they've had some trouble with their finances, and they've decided, and of course, she's against it, and she's trying to figure out what she's going to do, but they've decided that to fix their financial problems, they're going to cut their missions from, they were given, like us, 10% to foreign missions, and they decided they're going to cut that to 1%. And she's saying there's a bunch of people that are really upset about it. And I try to stay out of their business, but I just couldn't this time. I just told her, I said, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. You ought to cut other stuff before you cut missions. You ought to cut, you know, salaries. You ought to cut other stuff. I heard about a church somewhere down in Texas that I was reading about where the pastor committed suicide last Tuesday, a week ago. And so even in churches, things happen this time of year that take away part of that hallmark kind of Christmas. But as you think about the Christmas story, and it is a blessed story, but I just want to guide your thoughts tonight a little bit to think about it from the participant's standpoint. And I want to make a point, and I'll make that point when I get to the end. You know, again, when we think about Christmas, we think about, you know, all is well, joy, peace. But if you think about Christmas from those that participate in it, there were some tough things that were happening in their lives. Think about Mary. She got pregnant. And I'm sure when she got pregnant and that fact became known, there were lots of questions that were asked. She was betrothed but not married. And I'm sure the question started to be asked, well, has she and Joseph done something that they shouldn't have done? Has she been unfaithful to Joseph? Do you ever stop and think what Mary's mom and dad thought about the situation? What did her grandparents think about the situation? What did her friends and neighbors think about the situation? Back in those days, a young lady could be stoned for what happened to Mary, if it happened in the earthly sense. I mean, she could be taken out and stoned, shamed, ostracized, talked about. And I'm sure some of that went on because, you know, people haven't changed. I mean, you know, people back then are like people today. And I'm sure there were some unkind things said about Mary. There were some, you know, some of her friends probably quit being her friends. And there was some shame that was probably brought to the family, and it probably didn't feel much like Christmas the way we think Christmas is supposed to feel to Mary. Think about Joseph. Again, his fiance, the one that was betrothed to him, was with child. His wife-to-be, again, his first thought was that she's been unfaithful. He knew that he had not committed anything that was wrong. And that's why the Bible says that he thought about putting her away, calling off the marriage. And because he was a kind man, he said, I'll do it privately. But then we know the story, how an angel came and told them that, you know, what had happened, that this was of God, that Mary had not been unfaithful. But did you ever stop and think, how many questions did Joseph have to answer? I mean, did his friends come to him and say, was it you? Are you the one that's the father of this child? And if not, why are you going to go ahead with the marriage? Why aren't you calling it off? Why aren't you putting her away? She certainly has been unfaithful. And I wonder, and again, I like to just, you know, think about these things. I wonder what Joseph's parents said. I mean, I can just picture it in my mind, you know, this young man going to his dad and mom and trying to explain what happened. And I just wonder the questions that they ask him. What did his friends say? Did they make fun of him? Did they ridicule him? And I'm sure from Joseph's standpoint, it didn't feel much like Christmas like we usually think about Christmas. Think about the journey they took from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I've often wondered, why were neither set of the parents mentioned? Both Joseph and Mary were descendants of David, so both of their families would have gone back to Bethlehem to register for the census to be taxed, as the Bible says. Why didn't they travel with their parents? I mean, if their parents were alive, both of them would have been going back to Bethlehem for the same reason. And then they got back to Bethlehem and no room. But did you ever stop and think, well, this was their home city. They must have had relatives that were living there. Well, why didn't they go to their relatives? I mean, were they ostracized from their family? That nobody wanted to take them in? Nobody wanted to give them a room? They ended up in a stable that was dirty, cold, and you know, nobody adds the odors. You know, when they set up the manger scene, you know, barns stink. They don't smell like a Christmas candle. They smell like something else. I mean, and so when we set up the manger scenes, you know, we have sweet candles burning or, you know, the Christmas tree smells. We don't make it realistic. But, you know, just think about the night that they, or the time that they spent in that barn, cold, dirty, stinking. And again, can you imagine a young lady having her firstborn child without her mom being there, without a midwife being there, with her young husband, who was a carpenter, to there help deliver that baby? And so, again, it didn't feel much like Christmas as we think about Christmas. The angel comes to Joseph and said, you need to run. Herod is going to try to kill your son. You need to leave. And so they get up. And the way I read the Bible, he didn't wait till the next morning. He got up right then in the middle of the night. And they left. And they go to Egypt. And they live among strangers. No family. No friends. No countrymen. In a country with strange customs, in a country with strange food, in a country with strange gods. It didn't feel much like Christmas as we think about Christmas. And then word came, as we read here in the verses that we read tonight, that Herod made good his threat. He sent his soldiers to Bethlehem, and he killed every little baby boy that was 2 years old and younger from the time that he'd inquired of the wise men. He killed every little baby boy. And I've often wondered what Mary and Joseph thought. I wonder if they thought, why didn't we tell others? Why didn't we tell them that this threat was coming? And I'm sure when they heard the news, it didn't feel much like Christmas as we think about Christmas. And then I want you to think about Jesus himself. Eternal. Omnipotent. Omniscient. Omnipresent. He comes and he takes the form of a baby. He puts limits on himself. He contains himself in human form. He leaves heaven where he is worshipped and adored, and he comes to earth where he's unwelcome, misunderstood, and hated. He leaves a place where there's no night, and he comes into the darkness of this world. He leaves a place where there is no sin, and comes to a world that's full of sin and sinners. He leaves the presence of the Father to dwell among men. And he leaves the company of saints and angels again to live with sinners. And even from his perspective, it didn't feel much like Christmas as we usually think about Christmas. So here's my one point. Just maybe, that's what Christmas is all about. It's not about everything being all right. It's not about all the presents. It's not about all the food. Maybe what Christmas is all about is being broken enough to know that we need God. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And maybe Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, is knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that we need Emmanuel. We need God with us. That without him, we are nothing. Without him, we are doomed and damned to hell. But as Adam sang a moment ago, with him and the price that he paid on Calvary, we have hope. We have the hope of heaven if we receive him. And so, and again, I don't want to be a downer tonight. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. I hope everything is good for you at Christmas. I hope you're together with your families. I hope you have a wonderful time eating and exchanging presents. But don't forget, Emmanuel, God with us. Without him, we would be nothing. But with him, we can look forward, as Brother Wayne testified a moment ago, to going to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in that place that he's preparing for us now. There will be people that'll be hurting. And I'm sure even the people that are sitting here tonight, you'll hurt in a certain way, because there won't be somebody sitting around the table that used to be there. Maybe something else is going on in your life that, again, takes away that hallmark feeling of Christmas, quote and unquote. But again, what's important is God came to be with us and to give us something that we could never get on our own, salvation. Salvation. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.